Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast in a very special Wednesday edition. Triple G versus Canelo. Robert Ringside, Robert and I will be reviewing this fight, and we'll break down all the small details and everything like that just to get you ready. Grand entrances were today at the MGM Grand, and the two faced off at the press conferences. And I got to tell you, when the two came together, Triple G looks a lot bigger than Canelo. He really does. There's definitely a height difference. There's definitely a size difference. As big as the pictures that I saw of Canelo, okay, I thought the height difference was, you know, he looks like the physically bigger guy, which he should be, you know. Canelo's, what do you say, Robert, 154? I'd say 154, yeah. 155 typically. Yeah. Canelo weight, as it were.
Yeah, the typical Canelo weight that he loved to fight at was 155. Remember, so you know, and remember he was 164 and a half when he fought Chavez. Keep that in mind.
That's so. Right. He was 164 and a half, and I tell you what, let's talk about that fight for a second, because let's talk about a couple of their fights leading into this, and so let's talk about their last fight. Chavez Jr. and Canelo. All right. This is one that I was woefully wrong on. I didn't pick Chavez to win. I don't think I did.
No, you did not.
Thank you, Robert. You know, I couldn't remember. Who knows? I say a lot of crazy things, man. So I didn't take Chavez Jr. to win that fight, but I thought Chavez Jr. was a live dog. I thought that Chavez.
I sure the hell thought it would be more competitive than what it turned out to be. That's for damn sure.
Right. I mean, seriously, yeah. Man. I thought it would be definitely a lot more competitive than it was. It looked like the two had a gentleman's agreement in there, and it looked like, you know, like the two had a gentleman's agreement, and basically saying, "I'll lay low. I won't hit you with anything back too hard, and I won't try to get you out of there." That's what it looked like, because it looked like to me Canelo could finish this guy at any point. I mean, the amount of resistance that Chavez Jr. offered was just like, wow. I mean, he really, and not to disparage him too much, because Chavez Jr., listen, man, a lot of people don't respect his skills. I respect his skills. He's got skills. He's a very good boxer. Like it or not, he's a very good boxer. He is. And anybody who's saying he's not, I'm sure, you know, you get him in the ring and you let me know how that goes. All right, Chavez Jr. can box. That's just the way it is. He's got a mean left hook. Listen, I don't want to be on the business end of his punches, I'll tell you that.
That's but, right.
Exactly, right? So yeah. That being said, man, he was clearly outmatched against Canelo. I think there was two things. He was outmatched. The other thing was he didn't want to be in there. He really didn't want to be in there. And I think the extra weight took it off of him. I think the because he had to shrink down. You know, like I said, he was 175 and coming down to 164. That's a big deal.
Yep.
That being said, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it affected his performance. I'm not sure how much it affected his performance. I think they could have met at 170 and Canelo still whitewashes him. You know, I think they could have met at once anyway. He's going to get whitewashed. He looks so good in that fight. Canelo looks so good. And I think that's why that fight in particular is – where I think the tide started to turn for Canelo, because you see a lot of people now taking Canelo more than ever. Like a year ago, Beeb had mentioned this on our program. A year ago, he didn't, you know, nobody was taking Canelo. They were all taking Triple G.
Yeah.
What changed? Well, that's what changed. You know, the two performances by Triple G and the performance by Canelo against Chavez Jr. What were your thoughts on that fight when you watched Canelo in that fight? And then you watched, like, say, the Liam Smith fight prior to that. That was another one. You know what? That was and speaking of that fight, that's an interesting one. I remember calling Beeb the afternoon of that fight, and I said, you know, I think Liam Smith might have a chance here. Beeb and I, you know, Beeb's the British guy, so the Britain's adopted son. So we were really looking at this thing and saying, wow, he, you know, I think he might have a chance. And Beeb was like, I think he might have a chance too. Man, he had no chance. And we thought that Canelo was going to, you know, it wasn't, he's not going to beat Canelo. But he has a chance. He's a live dog. He's another one that's a live dog in there. He got demolished. I mean, that wasn't even close. I mean, no point was close. So give me your impressions of Chavez Jr. and Canelo.
Well, you know, like we just discussed, I thought Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. would give a better account of himself. But maybe the negotiations by Golden Boy and Oscar and Canelo and company just made it impossible for Chavez to be competitive. Maybe he just could not handle losing the amount of weight that he had to lose just to make weight. Now, they didn't step on the scales the next day, so we didn't see how much weight they both gained. But you're right, Chavez didn't even look like he wanted to be there. And it was interesting. I watched both episodes of 24/7, and Abel Sanchez said in the second episode he didn't even bother looking at Canelo and Chavez videotape because Chavez didn't put up any kind of resistance. He didn't make an effort. The fight he studied to get Triple G ready for Canelo was the Liam Smith fight, because he said Canelo was able to show more of his skills, and it allowed him to create a game plan for Triple G to go in against Canelo. That's why I was teasing Beeb on Sunday before the show started about him and Abel Sanchez actually having a conversation, because almost everything that Joe said on the prior show, Abel Sanchez said the same stuff on 24/7. That's why I was teasing Beeb about, did you guys talk? Because it sounds like you wrote up the game plan. You know?
Now, yeah, exactly. You know, and that's pretty interesting. We talk about, you know, and we talk about Chavez Jr. and Liam Smith. Now, let's go one more before that. So we'll go his last three fights here. And obviously before that, he fought Miguel Cotto, which... The only people.
He fought Cotto. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he fought Liam Smith. Amir Khan. Chavez Jr. was his last fight. Liam Smith, Amir
and
Khan,
Cotto.
And obviously
Kirkland.
Right. Yeah. Right. But let's just touch on Miguel Cotto real quick. Absolutely, you know what was funny about this in press row? Absolutely, nobody had the fight for Cotto. All right, all the press people, ESPN, everybody, not one person had it for Miguel Cotto. They all had Canelo, with the exception of Chavez Sr., who had the fight for Cotto. The Mexican station has the fight for Cotto. Nobody else. I mean, who does that, you know? It's your guy, man. Go against him. You know, it is what it is. But, But let's talk about the Amir Khan fight, because Kell Brook obviously was a similar fight for Triple G, in which we'll get into. But again, I think that, you know, Amir Khan gave him problems for the first two rounds. I think for the first two, you can argue three rounds, Amir Khan gave him some issues and then ultimately KO'd.
Yep. And Khan actually showed in the first three rounds, I thought, he actually showed the perfect game plan. If anybody truly wants to beat Canelo and make him look bad, I thought Khan, for the first three rounds of that fight, did everything absolutely perfectly. He moved a lot. And Canelo is a stationary fighter. He doesn't move very well, and he doesn't handle anybody moving on him. I don't know if Triple G can do that. We know Triple G can box because he did it against Willie Monroe, and he's done it against other people. But I don't know if Triple G could do the same kind of game plan that Amir Khan came up with, at least for the beginning of the fight. I don't know if Golovkin can do that, but it was interesting to see Khan actually deploy that, because you could see in the first two or three rounds, Canelo was kind of confused. He didn't know exactly what Khan was throwing at him. And then in the fourth round, things started turning around, and then he iced him in the sixth with one of the best punches I've ever seen Canelo throw. So, you know.
Man, let me tell you what. Now, you be honest. All right, you be honest. If he gets clipped with that same punch, same range, same everything, because remember Khan was turning and everything like that when he got clipped, That was right. That was a counter punch. And that's what I was talking about on Sunday's show, is that perfect counter. He is a counter puncher. A lot of people think he comes forward, and he does, but he is a counter puncher. He waits for you to make a mistake. And the other thing I like about Canelo, he throws punches in bunches. He throws those shots, those combinations. He's not a one-punch guy. You know, very rarely are you going to see him throwing one and done or head hunting. Yeah. He goes to the body. He knows what wins.
Yeah, the only time you ever seen Canelo really go one and done, pretty much, is Kirkland. When he knew he had James Kirkland hurt, he knew it didn't take very much. You know?
Yeah.
But that's why I said on Sunday, I think this is going to be – and see, I disagree with Beeb because he makes it sound like it's going to be so easy. Like Triple G is just going to walk right in there and wait a few rounds and put him to sleep. I think people
would
think
– You tell me, because I got to be honest now. You tell me, because you were one of the biggest proponents of Triple G in this fight. And, I still am.
But,
yeah, 100%. You never wavered.
Yeah.
But before, you thought that you did think at one point that Triple G is going to walk right through this guy, that it was not a competitive fight, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, what has changed your mind that Canelo has done or Triple G has done since then?
It's the passage of time, Eric. I think when a promoter like Oscar De La Hoya purposely makes his fighter wait two solid years before he puts him in the ring against this guy, I think it's the passage of time. I think the appropriate time to have this fight would have been directly after Canelo fought Cotto. And then you would not have seen Canelo and Khan. You would not have seen Triple G and Brooke. You would not have seen Canelo and Liam Smith. You would not have seen Triple G and Danny Jacobs. I think it's the passage of time, because fighters get older and fighters also gain more experience in that time. Triple G has gotten older. No, has he lost a step? No, because he's not that old. But Canelo has gotten better. I think 2 years ago, after the Cotto fight, would have been the absolute perfect time, if you're a Triple G supporter, to take that fight, because it would have been a lot easier than what it's going to be now. And I think in Beeb's case, he still thinks it's going to be easy. And the scary part about it is, after watching 24/7, I think Abel Sanchez thinks it's going to be that easy. And when you got a trainer going into the ring thinking that the fight's going to be easy, that's when a problem is going to occur. I still think Triple G is going to win, but I do think it's going to take the full distance, and he's going to have to look impressive. Although we're going to talk about the judges and what have you here in a minute. I think with the selection of the referee and the judges for this fight, I think the only legitimate chance now of Golovkin walking out of there with his hand raised is he's going to have to put Canelo away. Because if it goes the distance with the way that these particular judges score fights, I think it's set up for Canelo to get the victory.
Interesting. Let me ask you a question now. Look, so I know Jim Lampley had said something that he wouldn't be surprised if Triple G took three or four rounds and then knocked him out. Got rid of Canelo in three or four rounds. It would not shock him at all. Abel Sanchez seems to be overly confident. I mean, not overly confident, just confident. Almost in talking, when you hear him talk, you know, you hear the interviews, and almost like it's going to be a walk, you know. You hear Gennady, and Gennady's always, he's the fighter. This is what he should say. Hey, I'm going to come in.
That's
I'm gonna
right,
finish
yeah.
it. That's yeah. him, man. That's what he always does. It seems like a lot of people very close to the fight, close to his camp, think this is going to be a KO.
Yeah.
Think that he's going to get rid of him.
And I think if it's going to be a KO, he's going to have to earn it. My problem is, I think Golovkin is a much better defensive fighter. I think he can handle whatever Canelo throws at him. I don't know how good Canelo's defense is with punches coming back at him, because as I indicated on Sunday, and I'll do it again here, this is the first time he's ever really faced anybody with devastating knockout power. He's never, Canelo has never really faced anybody with heavy hands. I could be wrong because I haven't seen, huh?
What about Floyd Mayweather? You don't get any more heavy-handed than Floyd Mayweather.
He's got eggs for hands. He breaks his hands. You know, that doesn't count. I haven't seen all 51 of Canelo's fights, but I don't even think anybody has ever gotten him in serious trouble. And that's the thing about this fight. I don't think either one of these guys have ever been down in their career. That's going to be the big key. Who can get who in trouble? And if somebody goes down, how are they going to react if they get back up?
Well, let's break this down real quick. I mean, who has the edge here in terms of speed? And I touched on this, but I'd like to get your opinions on this. As far as speed goes, who do you give the edge to?
Now, are we talking foot or hand or both?
Both.
Okay. I think in both foot and hand speed, I think Triple G has got the edge because he knows how to cut off the ring. He showed that against Willie Monroe. Canelo has had cement for shoes. That's why he has difficulty with anybody that moves around the ring a lot. That's why I said earlier, I don't know. Triple G can box. I know he can cut off the ring, but I don't know if he can be a consistent mover throughout the fight. He might be able to do it for segments, but he's never been asked to box for 36 minutes because he's a puncher. So, but if he could incorporate that in his game for this particular fight, he might create issues for Canelo. I don't know how. See, there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered on Saturday night. I don't know how Canelo is going to handle defensively. I don't know how Canelo is going to react to a heavy punch. And we're also going to find out if Triple G can handle a heavy punch because Canelo can punch. You don't score 34 knockouts without knowing how to punch. So a lot of questions on both sides are going to be answered here as long as Kenny Bayless doesn't interfere.
Wow. So speed-wise, you would say foot speed to Triple G, hand speed to Canelo. You think he's faster? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, realistically, I think Canelo's faster. But, again, Saturday night's going to answer a lot of questions.
All right, well, I say that's a push then. I really do.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about chin. Neither one has been done. Right? I don't think Canelo's ever been down, or has he?
No, neither one of them have ever been down, but we've seen Triple G in the David Lemieux fight and the Curtis Stevens fight take some heavy shots, and he's been able to walk right through them. We've never seen Canelo take a heavy shot from anybody
to
see how he reacts.
Yeah, I disagree, though. I disagree, because you talk about David Lemieux and Curtis Stevens and everybody like that. I mean, he never really took a solid shot from David Lemieux. I mean, he really did. You know?
I thought he did. Oh, okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Any other thing is too, like, you think about it, they're all his weight. So,
right.
And the same thing with Canelo. I mean, if you're in the fight, you're going to get hit. To me, he's had more fights. He hasn't been down. I don't think you could say his chin is better. I don't think you could say either guy's chin is better. I've never really seen anybody buzzed, with the exception of Canelo. Now, I saw him buzzed against who was it? Cotto's brother, wasn't it, that buzzed him?
Was it Cotto's brother, or was it Ricky Hatton's brother?
It was Jose Miguel Cotto.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Or it could have been Matthew Hatton. Yeah, I guess it could have been Matthew Hatton, too.
Yeah.
He fought both of those guys.
Yeah, he did.
I think Cotto, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I think it was Cotto, if I'm not mistaken. So he's buzzed before. Listen, man, any guy gets clipped on the chin, he can go. I kind of give this a point also. I think it's kind of an even thing. So.
Okay, I think, it looks that way.
All right, so let's talk about boxing ability now. This is a tricky one because We talk about, Canelo when he throws combinations and stuff like that. And I see Triple G throwing a lot of one punch and done. You know, he throws, one shot, almost like one shot at a time. Very few. I don't see a whole lot of combinations coming from, not like Canelo does.
Yeah, and I think in this fight, that if you're going to do that, that'll be a mistake. You're going to have to put your punches together.
But, you talk about boxing ability, and you look at David Lemieux, who's got that, he's got that one-punch KO power, man. And the way Triple G handled him was, masterful. For the first, six rounds or whatever, you couldn't touch that guy.
No.
It was just boxing. It just classic boxing, man.
That's why I think Triple G has the edge in the boxing ability. And remember, Canelo seems to have trouble with anybody that can move. I scored the Laura fight for Laura. I thought Laura beat Canelo.
But as we talk about that though, it's not going to be Arislandi Lara in there.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that kind of movement. And I think both of them, you're not going to look. I mean, listen, man, you're not going to look for Triple G. He's going to be right in front of you.
That's
not
right.
You're not going to have to.
No.
So, yeah, I think
That's what I love about this fight. I don't think you're going to have to look for either one. I think they're going to. I think they're going to stand right there, and they're going to go at it. And referee, don't interfere. Just let them go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about defense here. Who do you think has the better defense?
Triple G.
Really?
Yeah. Canelo's defense is good, but I think Triple G's is better. I'm assuming you disagree with that. Maybe you can point out something that I'm forgetting.
I think that Canelo is a slicker fighter, especially along the ropes. You've seen him do you've seen him play the rope-a-dope and everything like that, and he goes to the ropes and he lets people hit him. Now, I don't know that I advise that against
him. Yeah, I've seen that.
But I think he's a slicker. I think he's definitely slicker on defense. I think he's more conscious of head movement. I think he's more defensively responsible when he throws shots than Triple G is, especially lately. I've seen Triple G get hit with stuff that he probably shouldn't have been hit with. That's just my opinion.
Well, I think the problem has been Triple G should have never taken the Cal Brook fight. It was obvious he was going to win, but because he was in a new country and wanted to put on a show, he allowed Cal Brook to do some things in the first couple of rounds. Triple G should have dominated that fight from the very beginning and probably got it over with sooner. That fight should have never taken place. Let's be realistic about that whole thing. And because Triple G allowed Brooke to hit him and do some things, a lot of people, he's immortal after all. Somebody can hit him. Somebody can hurt him. And people have jumped on that bandwagon like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, they sure did. They're riding it like Seabiscuit, man.
Yeah.
Offense. Yeah, and this isn't power. This is offense. I have to give the edge here to Canelo because
Canelo throws in combinations.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing, man. I think that, he throws in combinations and, it's tough to beat, man. He's so good. He's slick.
And keep this in mind. Las Vegas is a home court advantage for Canelo. That's why now that I know who the judges are, I'm concerned if this thing goes the distance now.
Well, let's talk about it going the distance here, because let's talk about power next and we'll get to the judges. So for the power, I got to give it, this is a tough one. This may not be as easy as you think.
Okay.
Canelo has 34 knockouts.
Triple G only has 33.
Right, but he's got 37 fights. I mean, he's got 34 knockouts. Canelo can crack, man. My problem, My problem, though, is that I think you have to give it to Golovkin. You have to give it to Triple G on this because the deal is he's the heavier guy. He's been the heavier guy all of his career.
And so he's always fought in this weight class.
And he's the bigger guy.
Yeah.
So he should, you know, without question, be the stronger guy in there. Power, I think you have to give the nod to Triple G. So when we add all this up, Triple G takes boxing ability and power. Canelo takes defense and offense.
Yeah.
And
the way we just broke it down, yep.
Yeah. The chin and the speed are a push, completely even. Everything down the board, completely even. How about that? Let's talk about the judges for a second here. Your referee will be Kenny Bayless, all right, followed by Adelaide Byrd, Dave Moretti, and Don Trella as the three judges. So what is it? Why is everybody going nuts about these judges?
Okay, with Adelaide Byrd and Dave Moretti, I believe they've scored other Canelo fights. They've always been on the side of Canelo. And they both have turned in, dubious scorecards in the past in other fights. I believe that if this goes the distance with those two judges in particular, with their scoring histories, I think it favors Canelo, man. I think Canelo now has a home ring advantage, especially with those two judges scoring. And Kenny Bayless has always favored the superstar. He's refereed, for example, several Mayweather fights, if you can remember.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about it here for a second, okay? Adelaide Byrd, Adelaide Byrd and Dave Moretti were scoring the Chavez fight with the Canelo and Chavez. Both had it 120 to 108 for Chavez.
That was easy to do, yeah.
Easy to do. Let's go to the Intercon fight, though. Adelaide Byrd, Kenny Bayless, of course, was a ref. Adelaide Byrd had it 47-48 for, I'm assuming, let's see here, 47-48. I think she had it. She had this for, Canelo, or not Canelo,
Khan.
Amir.
Khan, yeah. She scored it for Khan, yeah.
Right. Dave Moretti had it 119-109 for in the Miguel Cotto fight, of course, for Canelo, which...
Yeah, and
I was okay.
I don't know about you, Eric, but I scored that 116-112, 8 rounds to 4.
Let's see. You know, since you mentioned that, because now you got me wondering.
Do you still have that?
That's what I'm looking for, man. I score them all on the... on my phone, okay. I got that, I think it's from Box Nation. You know that scoring app with the guy that looks like a wizard on it?
Well, there's been a lot of fights since then. You may have erased it, but that's what I had at 116-112, 8 rounds to 4.
Yeah, Smith versus Canelo. Where am I going here?
Okay.
So I go deep, man. All right, Canelo versus Khan, 47-48.
Yeah.
I had a Khan.
Okay.
All right. We're almost to Cotto here, hopefully. And I don't have it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, then you had the same score as Adelaide Byrd.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's it. Yeah, I didn't think, I mean, you know, I don't know that I give him all of those rounds, but I don't think it's out of line. You know?
No.
All right. So the Arislandi Lara fight, Jerry Roth scored it the other way, but Dave Moretti had it 115-113. And Levi Martinez had a 117-111 for Canelo also.
Right.
But not a, you know, it depends on what kind of fight you like watching. CJ Ross. Now, if you brought in CJ Ross, that would be me and CJ Ross were the only ones that had the Floyd Mayweather fight a draw with Canelo.
I know. And CJ Ross lost her judging license after that fight.
How dare you? How dare you bring that up? Who do you think you are?
But Bayless
had 115-112. I think that's much ado about nothing.
Okay.
I don't think they favor him. I don't think either one of those judges really favored him. You could argue that Adelaide Burke did favor him in that con fight. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But you were asking why the big uproar. That's why the big uproar. You know, people are dubious about those two judges in particular. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And again, man, I didn't think, you know, like I said, with the Chavez fight, you know. Yeah, if anything, they had Levi Martinez with the Liam Smith fight. If anything, you can make a case for that, you know, because he had a pretty crazy scorecard in that one. But I honestly I think that's much ado about nothing, and I think this when people see that they're already playing the sour grapes, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
All right.
Don't forget everybody on Saturday. Be sure to order the fight earlier because it's going to start an hour early, 8 o'clock.
Eight a.m. Full fight coverage. Eight a.m. Eastern time. It's the only time.
Yeah.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah.
So September.
So there you go.
So do you think? Yeah. So do you think the fight lives up to the hype? Do you think we're seeing Hagler Hearns? Do you think? Do you think it falls short? Do you think it's just? You think it's a good fight, not a great fight? What do you think?
No, I do think it's a better fight than some people are giving it credit for. It's not. Golovkin is not going to be able to walk in there and put him to sleep. If there's a knockout that happens, it's either because A, somebody made a mistake and the other person took advantage, or B, they got hit with a shot that they couldn't see. I think it's going to be a competitive fight. I think in the beginning it'll be a chess match. You know, for the first couple of rounds, they'll try to figure each other out. But like from round three on, I think the fight will be on, and I think it'll be quite the interesting battle. And I do think it might go the distance.
Wow. Who do you think wins if it goes the distance?
If it goes the distance, that's why I said it'll be a split decision victory. And I'm picking Golovkin, and I know you're picking Canelo, so we're on opposite sides here. And keep this in mind. If Canelo loses, he's got the rematch clause. But if Triple G loses, he does not have the rematch clause. That's how they negotiated this. Only one side gets a rematch, not the other.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me tell you this, because this came up on Sunday's show. We did not have the answer to it. We talked about Canelo's size. You look at him at 154, and I'm not sure if you're privy to any of the pictures floating around there or not. But he looks blown up. He looks humongous. He looks huge, man. He looks like a bodybuilder kind of. I mean,
I've heard some people, Eric, suggest, because they don't think there's any drug testing for this fight, that Canelo's using something. I'm not going to say that until it's proven, but I've heard some
He's
people suggest that.
He's got the Berkey pee-pee.
Wow. Yeah. Robert, what are you dropping dime on Canelo? Look. I got from good accord. I talked to Gabriel Montoya. All right. He said that VADA is actually handling the testing.
Yeah, well, big surprise. That's good to know. That's good to know. And Gabe is a good guy, so he would know.
Very good. Very knowledgeable on that stuff, too. I mean, that guy, he's the PED guy. Not that he takes him himself. I throw that out there. And if he does, there's nothing wrong with it. He's not a professional athlete.
That's right. No, so been, Gabe's a good guy. So.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy, man.
Yeah.
So we've been informed by him that, it is VADA testing and everything like that. So far he's clean. No Mexican supplements have turned up, you know. So we'll see what happens.
No taint in meat, by the way, you know. So, you know.
So don't eat it. He's staying away. He's maybe a vegetarian while he's down in Mexico, you know.
That's right, yeah.
Who said that? Who was the guy's name?
Remember that was the Francisco Vargas.
He said, it was a mistake down there. I was eating the meat, you know, it was tainted meat.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. So let's go over this dynamic undercard. You know, typically when there's a big fight, there's not a good undercard, but Golden Boy has turned the tables here. In this undercard, I got to tell you, the co-main is worth the price of pay-per-view alone, right, Robert? Joseph Diaz versus Rafael Rivera, 12 rounds of WBC featherweight eliminator. Right?
You want to talk about it? You want to talk about a walkover? I don't know. I don't know anything about his opponent, but Diaz should take care of business rather quickly. I think the interesting fight on this undercard, if there's a fight you really wanted to pay attention to before the main event, is the fight before that. Randy Cavallaro against Oscar's nephew, Diego De La Hoya. Now, I think that's going to be a battle and a competitive fight. But the other two fights, the Joseph Diaz fight and the Brian Blue Chip Martin fight, those aren't worth watching. I don't even know why they're on the card.
Ah, what's the matter with you?
I tell
those
it like it is.
These guys are trying to make a living. What are you doing?
I'm the Teddy Atlas of Ringside Reporter. I tell it like it is. I put it right between the eyes.
What do you think about De La Hoya putting Diego De La Hoya finally on a pay-per-view card? Where he's not
about time, about time his uncle stepped up. And I like Randy Caballero, but I think Diego will win because Randy has dealt with a lot of injuries. He's been in and out of the ring recently. But I like this fight. I'm glad Oscar's given his nephew a decent fight here. We're going to find out what kind of fighter Diego really is, whether it's in the bloodlines or not.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's good, man. I think he's the goods. He's a solid, solid fighter. Now, whether he can do what De La Hoya did or whatever, I mean, I don't think he's got the size for that. I don't think he's moving up in weight anytime soon, you know.
Smaller guy. He's going to stay in the smaller weight divisions, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but he's a solid, solid fighter, man.
Yeah.
And he doesn't speak any English. No. I didn't realize that. No. He doesn't speak any English. Doesn't speak a lick of English, man.
Nope. I read an article, speaking of English, I read an article about Canelo. Apparently, Canelo will speak English when he's not on camera. But when he's on camera or doing anything for HBO or anybody, and it's filmed, he only talks Spanish.
I don't blame him. I got to be honest, man. I don't blame him at all.
You
he
know,
comes up so stupid in English. He gets his words crossed.
Yep.
Yeah. All over that. He said, what?
Yep. Yeah,
I don't blame him.
That's almost as bad as... That's almost as bad as Keith Thurman calling San Antonio San Diego.
What an idiot son.
Yeah.
So the undercard is probably one of the worst I've seen. The Mayweather-McGregor undercard was better than this. Actually,
I don't know if they couldn't get other fighters to be on it or what, but Oscar has done and I'm blaming Oscar for this because Tom Lawlor has nothing to do with putting fighters on the undercard, I don't think. But I think Oscar did a horrible job here of putting an undercard together.
Horrible is a complete understatement on what this undercard is. Yeah,
yeah.
Just unbelievably bad.
And mind you, if you're going to be in HD, you're paying $80 for this.
Right.
I would suggest checking your movie theaters on Saturday morning and seeing if anybody's going to show the fight because you might save some money that way.
So do you? I mean, let me ask you that. I mean, do you pay for this?
Well, I'm going to, but, you know.
Oh, you're a degenerate. No, you paid for that Mayweather debacle last week, a couple of weeks
no,
ago.
No, I did not. So, you know. I saved my Mayweather money for this one, so, you know.
Smart move. Smart move,
yep.
Man. Got to respect that move. I think you pay for it because this has got the, you know, this could turn out to be a dud, but, all the signs are pointing to it being a really good fight, that it could be a really explosive fight, you know, and that's what you want. The undercard sucks, but...
Now, for those of you that have the internet, you know, get the Ring TV broadcast, get the Sky Sports broadcast. You know, those of us that are here in America, we got to put up with Max Kellerman all night. So, you know.
Yeah, how about listening to him for 12 rounds again?
Yeah, you know, who would you rather hear, Roy Jones or Andre Ward? I thought Andre Ward actually handled that job better than Roy Jones.
I like them both. I like Ward. I like them both, though.
Okay. But it seems like whenever Roy's at ringside, Eric, he's always got to bring himself up. Like, well, I did this, or I wouldn't do that, and you don't hear Andre doing that.
That is true. That is true. He does insert himself in the fights an awful lot, man. He really does. That's great. That's great. Unreal. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's definitely worth the money. Let's talk about some other news here, man. The big news, of course, two big pieces of news. We mentioned that Anthony Joshua is going to fight Kubrat Pulev, all right, in England. 70,000 seats already sold out.
Yeah. Now, is that going to be in London or is that going to be in Wales? Because I've heard different locations for that.
Cardiff, Wales, maybe. When is it? When is the fight supposed to be? October?
October 28th, my birthday. What a birthday present for me. Thank you.
That's right. That's why anybody set up like that. Cardiff, Wales. Yeah, Cardiff, Wales.
Okay. Joe Calzaghe had a lot of his fights.
Yeah, Cal Yafai on the undercard. Katie Taylor going for a WBA title on the undercard. Yeah, I don't hate that card. That's a good card.
It's a good card. And yeah, I wish Showtime would show more than just the Joshua fight. That's why I wish we had like Sky Sports or something on our TV, man.
Sky Sports would be so awesome if we could get it. So the other big news is that your boy, friend of the show, Deontay Wilder, is also signed to fight.
And
I think it's December 4th. King Kong, son.
Well, you know what? We're gonna have a changing of the guard, I believe.
Wow, you're so disrespectful to friends of the show. November 4th, okay. In the Barclays in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Danny Jacobs and Sergey LaPenitz will also be on the cards. They're gonna be obviously separate fights.
Okay.
But, Louis Ortiz, man, 27-0. Bermaine Stiverne was a mandatory and said, quote, I'm not taking any step-aside money. Guess what? He took some step-aside money.
And you know what? I'm glad because we don't need to see Bermaine Stiverne back in the ring. He doesn't have anything to offer. Look, I'm being critical of Wilder here, but I'm in this case, I'm glad that he's fighting Ortiz. I think it's going to be a more competitive fight. I just have a real problem with Wilder because when did he fight Washington? In April? I mean, here it's going to be 7 months later. Really?
Wasn't he injured, though? In all fairness? Or we was coming off the injury with...
He was coming off the injury.
I'm trying, man. Friend of the show, man. Show some respect, Robert.
And remember, if I'm not mistaken, on September 23rd, Joseph Parker is already going to make his second title defense this year.
Wow. Insane.
You know, I really get worried, especially with the heavier guys, their inactivity. I mean, and he's an older guy too. So, now realistically, he'll probably handle Ortiz because Louis Ortiz does have spots where he doesn't do hardly anything. His last fight against who was that guy? Scott. That was a 12-round snooze fest. He should have put that dude away.
And how old is Louis Ortiz?
What is he?
7 or something like that? He's up there.
He's like 36, 37, you know.
Yeah. That ain't good, son.
And he hasn't been active either. So, I'm really not sure what kind of heavyweight fight we're actually going to get.
I don't know. The other rumor.
You could say the same thing about Joshua, not because Joshua has been inactive, but what is Pulev going to be able to do? I mean, when Pulev fought Klitschko, it was somewhat competitive, but Joshua just may blow this dude out.
Yeah, I think he will. Pulev said it's a frightening thought going against Anthony Joshua. He said something along those lines, like it's going to be frightening to get in the ring with him. Dude, you're going to get blown out. You are going to get blown out.
Yeah.
I have a better shot. Maybe not me stepping in the ring with him than you, but
no.
When you go in there with that attitude, dude, I mean, you're going to get blown out severely. So I have an update. It's a rumor. It's a rumor.
Okay.
So what it is on our train wreck of the week, Adrian Broner, boy. Rumor has it, and I don't know how true the rumor is. I don't know if it's got legs. I don't know. It's just rumor, loose rumor, that the Nevada State Athletic Commission may be looking to revoke his license after what happened in Las Vegas this past weekend. If you haven't looked, go to ringsidereporter.com, watch the video. It shows Adrian Broner pushing a woman. Some woman is trying to kind of restrain him or just kind of trying to divert his attention. And he, like, shoves. I mean, it was, like, hard, too. I mean, like, a hard shove, like, a get-away-from-me kind of thing. And, he pushed her a couple of times.
And then he laid out the dude she was with.
Laid him out. And I don't know, in all fairness, I don't know who the guy was. I don't know if it was with that girl. I don't know. I don't know if that was his girlfriend. I don't know anything other than he pushed a lady and he laid this guy out cold. So, yeah, not good, man. Not good. Now, whether they do anything or not, I don't know. Especially because I don't know how they can, because there was no citations given. I know security had talked to them. There's no charges filed. There's nothing. So, I don't know.
Probably the only thing that's going to come out of this, Eric, is probably the couple. If they're a couple, they'll probably file some civil suit to collect damages or something.
Probably. I don't even think they were a couple. That's the crazy part, is that I don't think they were a couple at all, honestly. I think the girl was actually the boss.
They might wind up being together, though, to collect the money from AB. Who knows?
There it is. All right, so I think we've capped everything. You're taking Triple G.
Yep. And I think it's going to be a split decision. I honestly do. I think it's going to be a very close fight. All these people that are predicting knockout, you might have had a knockout 2 years ago. You might have had one a year ago. But now I think Canelo has gotten better. And I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think.
Wow. Well, hey, man, you know the old saying.
We don't fuck around in Mexico.
It is.
That's what he said. That's right. And he said that 2 years ago.
There it is. All right. Well, hey, listen, man, I hope you guys enjoyed this impromptu show. For Ringside Robert, I'm Eric Lorta. Catch us on ringsidereporter.com. Catch us every Sunday with Joe Habib, every Sunday at 7. So we will... see you soon, man. Enjoy the fights. Can't wait.
Catch everybody later. We'll see you Sunday.